Anyway, so the middle one, Josh, I told him that, see, I saw the oldest as a pillar. He would be an elder in the church. He'd be a spokesman in the community. 10 years old. And from 10 years old until this last year, he ran from it. I mean, he ran from it. He got in an accident and broke up his leg so bad they said he'd never walk on it again. And he was in tears and frustration and you know, the end of it, he's one of those outdoorsmen and blah, blah, blah. And he came to me and he said, they said that it's not ever going to be fixed. And I said, well, that's a lie. Can I pray for you? He said, I'm in pain. His leg was swollen. I prayed for him. By the end of the service, there was no swelling. He didn't have any pain. But they still said he would never probably get to work again. And so the next month, when I was gone for, 6 weeks, I came back. He was there again. It got worse again. We prayed again. Debbie's a witness. Prayed for him. It got better. Guess what? He's running around on it. He just got himself, he went up in the mountains, got himself a mountain goat. It's huge. Sent the picture to me of it and whatever. But you know what he's done? He's brought in about 3 couples now. The oldest one has brought 3 new couples into our, young couples into our churches. His best friend, I mean, he is like one time, I mean, he is an elder's elder. He is going to be great. Now, Josh, he's like, I just don't know what I'm going to do. He goes, I just feel like I need to do something, but I don't want to do something. He was just scared. And so last year, he started coming to me, and he goes, Nancy, can you just pray for me? And I said, yeah, I'll pray for you. So I prayed with him, and I said, God's getting ready to do something with you. I said, you're going to be asked here pretty quick, and you're going to have to say yes because it's your calling. He goes, okay, okay. So he leaves, and then about, I don't know, I guess I was gone 6 weeks again, and I came back. And he's staring at me after the service. He just stays back in the corner, all these people I'm talking to. Finally, I broke off, and I walked over to him. I said, Josh, do you want to talk to me? He goes, I do. You know, my Antonio's out in the car. They have 4 or 5 kids. And, I mean, he's like, I just need to talk to you. I'm just going crazy. And I said, well, what's going on? He says, I don't know. I just feel like I'm supposed to be doing something. And I said, well, are you ready? He said, yes, I'm ready. I went, good. Go get your wife. He said, she's out in the car. If I can't leave the kids in the car, they'll tear it to pieces. I said, I'm going to send Debbie out there. So I went to Debbie and I said, Debbie, will you go watch their kids so I can talk to them? She said, yes, I will. Dad's good with kids. And so she went out there. Antonio came in. I told Antonio what he said to me. I mean, she's all for it, but, you know, she's being still. And I said, so let's pray. And I started to pray. And I said, so let me ask you again. Are you ready to serve? And he goes, yes, I'm ready. And I go, good. I want you to speak in December. I didn't know that kind of ready. I said, Josh, are you ready or not? Well, yes, I am. I said, you're going to speak in December. And he goes, I mean, this story is worth hanging on to. So he said, okay. I said, I'll tell Henry. He'll get you on the schedule. I want you to do it, you know, after Christmas because I said, Henry's doing a series for Christmas. And I'll speak after you do the next week. And he goes, okay. So he walks out. I said, but you need to get nailed down with Henry because I'm leaving tomorrow. I was leaving to go somewhere. And so he went out to the car. Later I found out what happened. He went out to the car and he goes, what did I just do? Antonia, what did I just do? I'm not going to do this. He said, I got to come up with a good excuse. I'm not going to do this. So he goes to work and all week he's just, you know, hoping Henry doesn't call him. He's not going to call Henry. He told Antonio, you know, they're so busy, they're going to forget. She's going to forget she even asked me. A week later, Henry calls him up. He says, Josh, Nancy told me that you're willing to speak in December. I want to nail down a date. And, oh, he didn't talk to Henry. He left a message. He went and answered the phone. This was the message Henry left. Nancy said, you're whatever. Well, he went another week, and he was thinking of a million excuses why he couldn't do it. So when he called Henry, he didn't sound stupid. This is his testimony. So he's got it all figured out, what he's going to tell Henry, and then on the Friday that he's going to call Henry, and when he got in, because he works a week on, a week off, his boss comes running up to him, and he says, Josh, I need this and this and this done. And Josh says, I'll have it done by Monday. I'll get it done. His boss says, oh, I knew I could count on you, and he walks off. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit convicts him. And he goes, what did I just do? I mean, here, God the Father is asking me to minister, and I'm making excuses, and this man I hardly know, I'm willing to do anything he wants me to do. He went home and he called Henry and he said, I'll do it. I'll do it on the date Nancy suggested. So that young man got up there, and you know what he talked about? Stretching and obedience. Stretching and obedience. And that's what we need to be looking at, is stretching and obedience. Getting out of our comfort zone and letting God use us. If you say yes, he's going to use you. And yes, he's going to come back and use you again and again and again and again. Sky's the limit. If he can trust you, he's going to use you. Right. Amen? If he can trust you to say yes, he'll use you. Yes. Amen? So I went, well, Lord, how can I end this? Because everything I've been talking about is encouraging them to do more. Do you feel like I'm asking you to do more? I'm requiring you to do more. I'm inquiring you first to read Psalms 119, 1 through 176. And take note that he is going to establish you. He can establish you. You may think you're dumber than a sack of rocks, but he's going to show you you're not. Amen? He's going to show you how to put your thoughts together. He's going to show you how to have the courage and the boldness to get up and say what you need to say. Amen? Not worried about what's coming back on you, but that you stood for God. And he's going to be blessed. He's going to go, I can count on her. I can trust her over here. I can trust him over here. He's going to use you over and over again. Amen? Because he trusts you and he knows you're going to be sincere. Amen? So what I did was I said, okay, here's your unfolding word. What can I give them to think about? I'm talking about praying right. So that when you pray, it does not come back void. And there is a right way to pray, and that's praying in scriptures. They're powerful. So I went through and I pulled out, is it not written? I'm going to share some things that is it not written? These are his promises. And when you're sitting there thinking about it and you get dinged because you didn't trust that he was going to come through, you know, write down the scripture that I give on this, okay? Amen? So, to start out with, God's word contains literally thousands of Bible promises waiting to be claimed in faith. Waiting to be claimed in faith. Amen? That's what he told me to tell you. Waiting. I'm just waiting in heaven. I've got the angels all lined up right there on the edge of heaven, just ready to go at a minute's notice, the minute it comes out of your mouth. Amen? And it won't come back void. He said, share these scriptures. So I want to share a few about addictions. Do you have any addictions? And you know what I mean by addictions, not your run-of-the-mill drug addict or alcoholic or food fetish. I'm talking about some of the addictions that you have that you don't talk about. Some of the things that you like to do and afterwards you're sorry you did it and you don't want anybody to know you did it. It might be thought patterns. It just might be the way you feel about the people around you and you never really want them to know. You just disdain them so much. Those are addictions to hang on to add to your list of I disdain. I want to be alone. I want to be left alone. That's not God's plan. That's not his intention. He never created you to be that way. The only time that he really wants you to be alone is when you go in your prayer closet. That's where he wants you alone. Amen? Praise God. So, and it says, Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. That's in Psalms 50, 15. Use those right words. You can go and look these up yourself. Find them yourself. Is it not the facet I've chosen to loose the bonds of wickedness and to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? Amen? When you say those words, cha-ching, with God, that's what he's given you. We go off on a tangent over here and come up with all this stuff that we think it sounds so good to him. But he said, what about this? What about, just simply say this. That's in Isaiah 58:6. Amen? And in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful. Say, God, you're faithful. Who will not allow me to be tempted beyond or able, but that temptation will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it? Amen? Praise God. What about deliverance? How many need deliverance? How many of you are dealing with not being able to sleep at night? How many of you are dealing with fears? You go, oh, nobody needs to know. This is a fear I have. Some people are afraid of the dark. Some people are afraid they're going to die. Some people are afraid that they're going to have some-timer, Alzheimer's, whatevers. You know what I'm saying? We start worrying about things that are never going to happen, but we waste our energy and we claim that anxiety. And God is saying, how about let me deliver you of those demons harassing you? And nail it, name it what it is. The demons, when they find out that's bothering you, they bring their buddies in and go, okay, we're going to do a 24-hour watch on this. Amen? And so what it is the angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear him and deliver them. Psalms 34:7. He wants to encamp around us. I prayed that over people, that the Lord wants to encamp his angels. They encamp around us. So he can remove that fear, keep it from hitting us. Amen? How about you have been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy? So go back to him. Go back to the beginning. Go back to the high tower. Embrace him. Hold on to him no matter what. And watch that stuff dissipate. Amen? Psalm 61:3. How about, I love 91, Psalms 91. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I love him. When I cry out to him, I love him, and I'm expecting an answer. Amen? Because I know he loves me. That's his promise. I will set him on high because he has known my name. That's out of Psalms 91:14. When you're praying over somebody, you know her. You know her name, and you know his name. Let's get together on this. Amen? Submit yourselves, therefore, before God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. A lot of us use that one. We do. And that's in James 4:7. And he does have to flee. Amen? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Amen? I mean, when we're praying sometimes, we do have a double mind. We're praying, okay, Lord, I believe you can help me, but the double-minded is, he can never help me. Yes, he can. Amen? I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of Christ have come, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down. Amen? Which accuse them before God day and night. Listen, when somebody's coming after you, you pray that. Woo! I think they're going to start rethinking the way that they're talking and thinking. Amen? Revelations 12:10. How about depression? How many in here deal with depression? You probably don't want to tell me that. But we do all have our dry times, and we call it dry times. We're depressed. Something's wrong. Amen? And what does he say about the Lord will be my refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble? Don't be afraid to pray that. Amen? Psalms 99 and verse 10. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. I seek you, Lord. I'm in trouble, Lord. You are my help. Amen? See, these are things that are written. These are things that are written. Is it not written? That's what Jesus did to overcome the devil. He said, is it not written? Is it not written? Is it not written? And Satan had to leave. He just couldn't take another, is it not written? He had to go. He got defeated. Anxiety and heaviness in the heart of man causes depression. It makes you stoop. It leans you over. You're bent over. Have you ever met people that just walk in the room and they're bent over like the weight of the world is on their shoulders? Amen? But he wants us to be, by the word, made good. Amen? So when you get in somebody's face, that's Isaiah 41:10. So when you, I think that's where I was. No, that isn't that one. I want to make sure I get the right one. In Psalms 107:13, and then the anxiety one was Proverbs 12:25. But here's something that we need to know and understand. When we're down and out, you know what I mean? You're laid out in the spirit. You don't know which direction to go, what to say, where to go, what to do. The Lord says, just cry out to me. Just cry out to me. I will restore your joy. But don't be double-minded. I still want to hang on to what I'm depressed about, and I want you to help me. You can't have them both. You got to let it go. You got to trust in him that he's going to make it right. No matter what it takes, he will make it right. How about your family? Honor thy father and mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord has given us. That's in Exodus 20:12. Remember that. Amen. The mercy of the Lord is everlasting and everlasting upon them, that the fear and his righteousness be on the children's children. Amen. I haven't lost Christy because she is so prayed for. She's bathed in prayer. People pray for her all over the world because they'll come to me and go, do you have a daughter? Is she not in a good way? And I go, that's Christy. I mean, real prophets will pick it up. And they'll say, I will pray for them. And once in a while, I'll get a note or whatever. I am so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for that. And, you know, she knows people are praying for her because I tell her people are praying for them. And if that person wants to go with me to see her, I say, this person has been praying with you. And in fact, I called a woman the other day that I haven't really got to work with for 2 years. I called her and I said, remember you came to Alaska, you went and saw my daughter, and it seemed pretty hopeless. She goes, yeah. I said, well, God's turning it around every day. Every day. Amen? Thank you for not giving up. Thank you for not giving up. She didn't give up. She said, I knew it. I knew it. How about fear? The Lord shall fight for you, and he shall hold your... Let me say that right again. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Do you know what that means? There's a problem. Hold your peace. Wait and see what happens. You don't want to squirm. Let them squirm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I've heard so many testimonies about people that got in a disagreement, and when one was able to hold their stand, the other one would come back and say, you're right. I was wrong. Amen? Amen? And the Lord, some of this thee and thou stuff. The Lord, he is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. You've been dismayed? Sometimes. We have all been dismayed, discouraged, frustrated, distressed. That's out of Deuteronomy 31:8. Listen, you speak his language, he's going to talk to you. Speak his language. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Psalms 23:4. That is my favorite scripture, and I trust in that. Amen. The Lord thy God will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, for I will help thee. That's Isaiah 41:13. Amen. How about filling of the Holy Spirit? Some of you want more of God? Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Proverbs 1:23. Underscore that, because he wants you to know more. I mean, you may know a lot. You may understand a lot. Amen? But he's always revealing his mysteries, and he does have mysteries, and it builds on the maturity you walk in. Amen? You want to stay status where you're at? Well, that's where you'll be, in your same pew every Sunday morning. But when you start moving in the Lord, all of a sudden you want to move around. You're sitting in different pews. I've seen it. I can see when people are moving and growing. You know why they're moving? Because they're trying to get with other people in the church. They want to pour into them. Amen? And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 14:13. Amen? Everything I do, I take no credit. It's the Lord's business. Amen? To glorify him. And if I make a mistake and I say I, please forgive me. Amen? But he is using the I in me to do his work. Amen? In Acts 2:17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Acts 2:17. Well, pay attention, because God said, prepare the way. He's saying, be prepared. You don't know the hour, the moment, the day, but when you start looking at 22, you're going to see something unfolding. I guarantee you. And it isn't a matter of the end of the world. It isn't going to be that. But it will be an end to life. You know it as you know it today. And if you look at the last 5 years, look how much has changed. So fast. Amen? Even the last 10 years have changed, but the last 5 years has been such a crazy. And it's everywhere. Ask Sarah and I, all these countries we're going to, it's going on in every country. Every country. Amen? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And yet ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Do you have the Holy Ghost? Does the Holy Spirit dwell in you? Because the Holy Spirit is there for three reasons. One, to convict you of unbelief. Two, to convict you of righteousness, God's righteousness, not yours. Amen? And to convict you of judgment, not your judgment. We're not to judge. We're not to walk in unbelief. We're not to walk in our own righteousness. We're to walk in Jesus Christ. And that's what the Holy Spirit brings. Amen? And then jobs. You can pray for jobs. There's ways you can do that. In your finances. Amen? The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto the land and in the season, and bless all the work of thy hands, and shall lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Deuteronomy 28:12. People come to me in the church, have no jobs. And I'll tell you, maybe after the first time, they have a hard time believing the word I give them. The second time they come back, I'll repeat the word. Did I not say this to you? Third time they come back, it came to pass. They had to believe it. You can't receive a blessing if you don't believe in it. You don't expect it. Amen? And I've seen it over and over and over again. And I get frustrated when I say it over and over again and they still deny it. Okay, you are embracing that poverty mentality. Amen? And we've been to countries that it's poverty mentality and they don't want it to change because everything's being taken care of for them. Think about that. He wants us to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek his face. Seek that time in his presence. Don't be picky about what he gives you, because it'll bless you. It will cause you to grow. It'll cause you to mature. And then you're in my face and I got this job, but I just don't like the boss. I said, well, maybe you're there because that's where God wanted you to be, to sharpen your boss. And your boss is sharpening you. And just wait on the Lord. He'll move you when he's finished with you there. You've got to trust him. Amen? Sometimes we don't like that, do we? But seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Seek him. Amen? Forgiveness. If my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. God told me one day when I was praying the western border of America that was one of the offenses he had against America, that we use that scripture wrongly in America. We use it to point out what other people are doing wrong. When he's saying, I want you to seek my face. You have been called by my name. Amen? He's saying, seek my face and repent and pray, and I will heal your land. Amen? This is your land. Amen? See what God wants to do with this. Get your land ready. Be prepared, because you're the remnant. I'm always talking about the remnant. God is talking about the remnant. You're the remnant. You're the ones that are faithful and true. There's something going on, isn't there? Get ready. Amen. In Psalms 85:2, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins. Lord, you've covered my sins, but I have to get under that blanket and say, forgive me. I mean, God gave his son judgment over us. Do you understand that? So when you go to God and you go, I'm sorry I messed with so-and-so, Jesus is not going to accept that. He's checking your attitude. He's checking your heart. And if you're coming at him with something like that, I'll tell you, he's going to be right on you. It's like, whoa. Can I rephrase that again? Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for those thoughts. Forgive me for those actions. You know, I realized a long time ago when I first became a Christian, I was dealing with a lot because I lost a daughter in an accident. And I was worried I was going to lose another. After I had my son, I was scared to death that he'd be taken away from him. I was operating in superstition and fear. And the pastor came over and sat down with me, and he said, what is your biggest fear? I said, I'm going to lose another child. He said, well, quit thinking that way, thinking of those things that are good and pure and lovely. He said, quit worrying about what's going to happen to him and trust God for what he's going to do with them. You prayed for little Henry. You got little Henry. You told him you'd give him back to him. I did give him back to him. My son is a pastor today because of it. I know that. But he said, think about your girls. How do you see them later in life? And so he left, and I realized I had to retrain my mind and how it thought. I had to discipline myself, and I start praying, and I could see my daughters, these little girls, little tiny girls, and I'm praying for them because they're going to be cheerleaders when they're in high school. I saw that. I saw them in sports, and I start praying about their adventures, and guess what? They both ended up cheerleaders, not because I told them they were going to be. I never did. But I talked to God about it. I prayed to God about it. And guess what? They became cheerleaders. Lisa, my oldest, she was the one that gave the prayer indoctrination at the baccalaureate. I was so proud of her. And then when at the graduation, they had her go back up and pray again. I was so proud of her. Amen? Christy, before she got ill. She was a cheerleader. Amen? She was so gifted that she was the editor of the newspaper at the school, and she was anonymous. She would never put her name. 4 years, she is the editor of the school newspaper, and I didn't know it was my daughter until her senior year when she graduated and they thanked her and exposed her. I didn't know it was her. She wrote articles about St. Patrick's Day, Valentine's Day. Her articles were so good. I mean, we were just so shocked. But because she'd gotten an accident, that was her first accident, it messed up her head. The car accident was the second one. The first one was when she fell in a barn and came down on her head and messed her up. So everything she did, she hid it, but she loved the Lord. She loves the Lord now. She's reading her Bible. But she said, Dad, get me a big print. Praise the Lord. I'm praising the Lord. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in his glory by Christ Jesus. Trust him. He will supply you. Believe and anticipate and expect, because is it not written? Are these promises? Is he a liar? You can take it literally. A lot of people go, oh, you can't take that literally. Yes, you can. Because if your faith believes it, so be it. That's what God's looking for, is faith. Amen? Guidance, it's like, and behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places. Whether thou goest, where will go, where I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. He is saying, I will guide you no matter where you go, no matter how confusing that sentence is. Every time you read it, you're going to understand. He's right in the mix with you. He's guiding you. He's directing you. I'm not down here on my own. I was guided down here. Amen? I didn't come down here in my own strength. He gives me the strength. Amen? You know, you ask Sarah, we are still on a time zone on the other side of the world. We were going from time zone to time zone to time zone. We don't know if it's night or day. Our clock, whatever that is, Debbie calls it, is all out of whack. You guys go to bed 9, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, we're awake. It's like, okay, don't eat any chocolate. Don't drink any coffee. Don't drink any pop. You know, what can we do to keep from, you know, being wide awake and turning it around and getting up in the early in the morning? That isn't changing it yet. So where does the strength come from? What is enabling us to keep moving forward? It's the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus. It's God. Three in one, carrying us. Amen? I take no credit for myself. It's his. Amen? It shall come to pass that therefore they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. He already knows where your heart is. He's waiting for you to respond to him. He knows your need before you even ask it. But he's waiting for you to call out, to cry out. Amen? About your health, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. And his benefits is he wants us well. He wants us to be right, number one, spiritually, emotionally, physically. Amen? That's Psalms 103. Be wise, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Don't let the enemy convince you. Somebody comes to me and goes, I got cancer. I look at him. If God says they don't have cancer, I go, you don't have cancer. Or you're not going to die of that cancer. You know, I got a friend that called me, and she's had what she thought was cancer in 4 or 5 different parts of her body over the last couple of years. And I'll go, you don't have cancer. She'll call me back and go, I don't have cancer. My husband, when he got cancer, it was the first time in my life I didn't know how to pray. My husband had cancer, and it had just gone crazy. I mean, it was throughout his body. And they're going, we need to start chemo and radiation immediately. It just spread everywhere. He was on a chemo derivative because he had an autoimmune disease that had contained that cancer. When they started doing the studies on what was going on with him, they took him off that chemo derivative and it just flew all over his body. They called me down there after they did the PET scan. They showed me the picture. And here it's lit up like, Henry, it's lit up like a Christmas tree. And they said it's really spread and Henry is still asleep. And it wasn't just the guy that, the doctor, the main doctor that did the pictures, but it was also the radiologist, the chemo doctor, and the surgeon. All four of them were in the room when I came down there, and that's unusual. That's unusual. And I walked in and they said, because he was down there a long time, and I walked in there and they said, well, we want to talk to you. Not one of these men were Christian when we started. All four of them were Christians by the time we were done because of what happened. But I'll never forget. They looked at me and because I remember sitting there when they'd be talking to Henry and telling him to get a grip. Get a grip. You got cancer. You don't have much time. 3 months max. That's what they were saying. And we're sitting there, and Henry goes, but Nancy's supposed to be going to China. She's going to be the first woman in the world since the Boxer Rebellion to be able to preach in a women's conference Jesus Christ freely. She's doing ministry in India. She's taking a medical team in with her. He said, I want her to go. This is what we hoped and dreamed for. I didn't know he was hoping and dreaming for that. I just was being obedient. But he's saying, would you please tell her she needs to go? And they're saying, she needs to be home and take care of you. You're going to be a sick man before you know it. When you start that chemo and radiation, it's going to be awful. I mean, they're going on. And I go, you guys quit talking like I'm not even in the room. I want to be with you, Henry. I don't want to go. We'll work it out. Sarah will go in my stead. She knows what to do. Larry said, I'm not going unless you're going. That was the doctor. I mean, it was going to work out. I knew it was going to go work out. I didn't know where my part was, but I knew what I wanted to do. But that isn't what God wanted me to do. And I remember they were saying, we've called you down here for this reason. That man, pointing over at him, says, he loves you. He will do any, it's evident, he loves you. He will do anything for you. And we believe that he's going to fight for his life for you. You need to go on this trip. You need to go on this missionary thing you're doing because it's important to him. He said you were the feet to his faith. That's what he said. So I just stood there. I was kind of mad. I got cornered. They were on my side. Now they switched. I looked over at Henry, and he turned over and looked at me, and he said, you promised. I said, what did I promise? You said if they started the chemo, you would go ahead and go, but if they're going to do the surgery, you wanted to stay. I thought we agreed on that. Darn, I remember that now. I remember that. So I went, all right, you guys win. You guys win. I left that room, fist to be tied, angry. I can feel it right now. I was so angry. I walked by all my friends that were over here. Do you remember this, Lisa? Just zoomed right past them, went down the hall, went in the bathroom, locked the door. I didn't have to go to the bathroom. I went to throw a fit privately. And I went, all right, you got your way. I was mad. You got your way. I'll go. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do the best job I ever did in my life. How do you like that? And that was stupid. That was stupid because it was like I just didn't have anything in me to do that. But he knew what was in me. I remember getting on the plane with Sarah and looking at her and telling her, I feel like I'm like the widow with her mite. I don't have much to give. But God was there every bit of the way. But after I left there and took Henry over to the hotel, after my little event in the bathroom and coming out and trying to be strong with all those girls that were out there waiting for me. I went to the bathroom, sat on the toilet, and I said, Lord, with the lid down, I said, Lord, I don't know how to pray. Please grab this. I said, I don't know how to pray. I've always been able to pray. I've always known how to pray. I don't know how to pray. And I was really quiet. Why don't you know how to pray, Nancy? I said, because I can't think of anybody that deserves to go to heaven more than Henry on this earth. He is a very good man, and if any of you have met him, you know that. He is an awesome man. Man of God, an awesome husband, an awesome father. You know, I don't find any fault in him. I love him. I love everything about him. But I also didn't want him to leave me. My selfishness was, I didn't know if I could make it without him. I still needed him. And I was so selfish, and I told God I was sorry. And he said, Nancy, pray this way. Pray this way. Pray that I give you the grace concerning the decision I have for your husband. Pray for the grace. I said, okay, that's good. That I'll have the grace because it's the grace for your choice for my husband. And I had to trust that. This was the biggest test of my life, I think, at that time. And I went in and told Henry. He looked up at me and he goes, that's perfect. That's how we'll pray. And my God's decision was to heal my husband. He healed him. It's been 10 years, and for all that cancer, it was gone. He did not have any sickness, any rashes from it, any. Did not lose his hair from his chemo and radiation. In fact, now he was just almost white with his hair. Now he's got a black streak going through it. People think he's dying his hair. He giggles about it. But God is not done with him. God knew I still needed him to finish the course set before me. Amen. So now the way that I want to end this, if you'll bear with me, is I hope I've said some things to you for you to be thoughtful about. The prayer that I want to do down here is, and I do want a couple of my leaders to come up here and help me, but I'm an activator. God uses me to activate. Amen? I just say what he tells me to say and activate you. I've illuminated some things. I've reminded you of some things. He wants to impart it deep in your heart. That, what does it say? What does it say? Did I put it away? What did it say? It is written. It is written. Say it. It is written. And I'm going to use it. He provided it for me. I'm not going to put it to waste anymore. Amen? Okay. So, this is what I want to say. Do you long for a deeper prayer life? Do you?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to have a greater faith?
Yes.
Are you interested in being involved with his miracle signs and wonders? Because that's part of him. He wants to heal. Amen?
Yes.
And do you want to serve God more?
Yes.
That's the four questions I want you to think about. If you want all four of them, come down here and let me pray. And if you're in agreement to receive it, he's going to activate those things that you just said, yes, yes, yes. Amen? So I'm going to say them again. You can write them down so that you can say, these are the things, and bring them down to me and show me what you want me to pray over you. Deeper prayer life. Greater faith. Miracles, signs, and wonders to be released in the power of his glory. And serving God more. Your sabbatical's over if you've been on a sabbatical. Amen? He's going to trust you. Amen. In that. So, we'll do this in a fashion of maybe three or four or five of you come up here and just replace those that leave. But I want to to be able to pray for you for that activation. Do you believe?
Yes.
Say, Lord, I believe.
I
am not double-minded. You don't have to remind me of my unbelief. In Jesus' name. Amen? So, come on, a handful of you, come on up here. Come on, Sarah. Michael and Michelle, you want to come down here and help me with this? Wayne, do you feel like coming down here and helping me, you and your wife, to stand over here? Will you help me? Okay.